All that you have here tonight and all that you saw is the result of a lot of people participating in our ministry. Of course, you know our family members, you know the Pattersons, you know the Gilmers, you know the McCoys, you know the ministry of Mount Abara. So you know that we haven't done that alone. We haven't done it by ourselves. But because of all the spiritual and financial support that we have received from many, many people. To God be the glory. And this is what missions is all about. Now, would you please open your Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 16. I have learned that we don't see miracles by looking ahead. We don't find miracles by looking at the future. But we see miracles when we look back. We look behind us. Just to give you an idea, this ministry that you saw here tonight was begun inside a precarious shed in our backyard. I think, Uncle Mike, you saw the shed. A very small shed, just the three of us, Rachel, Rochelle, our baby and I, we gathered together inside that shed, and my wife played the piano and I preached, and our neighbors started coming to the services, and from there, we began Maranatha Baptist Temple, the mother church, and through that church, the other three churches that you saw, and all the other ministries. So, it is a miracle. And we need to see more miracles. The fifth church we plan to establish is going to be in the city of Ribeirão Preto. And Ribeirão Preto has about 800,000 people. And it is the third, the most expensive city, not only of Brazil, but whole South America, because of the sugarcane industry. So just to give you an idea, and please, don't be scared. A piece of land, less than an acre in that city, will cost close to $400,000. That's unheard of, isn't it? A pastor friend of mine acquired 14 acres of land in North Carolina for $250,000. And here we are talking about $400,000 for a piece of land less than an acre. So because of that, someone told me the other day, Brother Ron, you should go someplace else. Ribeirão Preto is too expensive. And I had to answer, I cannot do that. Why not? For some reasons. First of all, God is calling us to go there. Amen. Second, for God nothing is impossible. Amen. So pray for us. Now here the Bible, actually Jesus is telling us the parable of the unjust steward. Now I told Pastor Weaver, I was not going to preach a whole sermon, especially because we are coming from a week that we were fed spiritually. And I know Pastor Weaver is preaching to you all the time. So you're receiving good preaching. But let me just share my heart with you tonight, especially about missions. I love missions. By the way, I love the United States of America. 3 years ago, I gained my American citizenship. And sometimes I have the impression that I love this country more than a lot of Americans do. And sometimes I have to tell some Americans, you need to travel abroad. So when you come back home, you'll be more grateful for what God has given you. But the truth of the matter is that one day, this country will pass away. Brazil will pass away. The whole world will pass away. But only those that are doing the perfect will of God will remain forever. Will stay forever. So here, Jesus is telling us about the parable of the unjust steward. First of all of us are stewards. The question is, are we good stewards or bad stewards of what God has given us? And He has given us just for a time. Because everything we have and everything we are belong to God. belongs to God. Nothing is ours. I know that we like to say, this is my life. This is not your life. This life belongs to God. We say, my money. It's not your money. It belongs to God. He has given you the brain to think and all the members of the body to move around. So everything you have, everything you are, belongs to God. Now we like to say, my wife, she's not your wife, she also belongs to God. And let me tell you, he's going to ask her back one day, so you had better treat your wife very well. My children, my family, nothing is actually ours. Everything belongs to God. So, are we good stewards or unjust stewards? Are we using what we have for the glory of God, or are we using what we have for our own glory? Jesus, telling us the parable of the unjust steward, he says in verse 8, and the Lord commanded the unjust steward. By the way, the Lord here is not Jesus, but the Lord of the parable. And he commanded the unjust steward, but not for being just. No way. But because he had done wisely with the use of money. So, the Lord of the parable was saying, yes, he's unjust, he's dishonest, he's misleading what belongs to me, but he is very smart when it comes to the use of money. Today, Donald King was telling me the story of J.P. Morgan. He was telling me about J.P. Morgan. I don't know if Mr. Morgan was ever a Christian, but I know for sure he was a very smart businessman. So he knew how to use money. And this is what the parable is all about. This steward, in spite of being unjust, was very smart with the use of money. Then Jesus says something that only him and nobody else can say about us, about the church, about the children of God. Because if I said it, it would be very offensive. If anybody else tried to say what Jesus is saying here, it would be very offensive. But listen, it is Jesus saying it. And he says about us, because or for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Jesus is saying that when it comes to the use of money, when it comes to the use of our possessions, of our belongings, the world is smarter, wiser than the church here inside. How can we understand that? It's not difficult. Jesus gave us a commandment. More than 2,000 years ago, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. 2,000 years later, there are 2.5 billion people in the world that never heard the gospel or the plan of salvation even once. And some of those people, they are here, around this church, around your house, around your neighborhood. And we haven't been able to show them the way to God as of yet. Now, my pastor, he likes to say that if you go up to the moon, you are likely to find a sign there which says, enjoy Coca-Cola. Now, I don't know if Coca-Cola is already in the moon, but I know there is an American flag there. Because when the world has a purpose, when the world has a message, the world will not count the cost. And the world will do everything to send its message. Now, just to give you an idea, when the Beatles were singing in the 60s, they said that they were better known in the world than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And they were right. When John F. Kennedy died, 48 hours later, the whole world knew about it. And yet, after 2,000 years, the church has not been able to put the gospel in the hands of every human being on the face of the earth. No wonder Jesus says, for the children of the world are in their generation. It doesn't matter. Every generation, the world is wiser than the church. No wonder they can spread their evil message around the world much quicker than we can spread the gospel. I know this is offensive, but it's coming from Jesus. And Jesus is always right. So he is once again right about ourselves. Now, Jesus is not only telling us what we are doing wrong, but then he makes a personal application to each one of us. He says in verse 9 what we are supposed to do about it. About this idea that the world is wiser than we are. Now, Dr. Weaver has been in Brazil. Dr. Mike Patterson has been in Brazil. Dr. Bill has been in Brazil. And you know what they saw there? They saw McDonald's all over the place. They saw Walmart's all over the place. Burger King, Pizza Hut, and you can name it. Brazil is very Americanized. Praise God for that. But Jesus now tells us what to do about it. He says, and I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Now, for many years, I did not understand this Bible verse. It's a hard Bible verse to understand. It is hard. And when people understand, they don't know how to explain it. So it doesn't help, right? But I'll try to explain this Bible verse tonight. Jesus, he's telling us that we must make friends. You and I are supposed to make friends, good friends. And then he says, for us to use the mammon of unrighteousness. And this word mammon means riches, money. So, is Jesus telling me to grab a $100 bill? By the way, I don't have it here. And he's asking me to buy friendship with my money? Of course not. Real friendship is free of any charge. But he is telling me to use this mammon of unrighteousness to make friends. First of all, it is called unrighteousness because the use of money is more frequently for bad purposes than for good purposes. For example, perhaps until yesterday, before I received this $20 bill, this same money was used for bad purposes. Alcohol, drugs, prostitution, gambling. But now, in my hands, and I am a child of light, I can use it wisely. I can use it for the glory of God. I can use it for eternal values. Amen? So, Jesus is saying, use this mammon of unrighteousness and make to yourselves, this is something that I can make for myself, friends. But what kind of friends? He says that when ye fail, it means we are going to die one day. Everybody here is aging. And by aging, we are getting closer to eternity. So he says, when you die, When I die, when we die, they, the friends we have made to ourselves, these are the friends we have made in life, may receive you where? Into everlasting habitations. So he's telling us we can make friends on this side of the world, and these friends will find us one day in eternity. In other words, everything we have, our investments in mutual funds, there's nothing wrong about it, our retirement plans, our houses, our cars, our clothes, everything that we have, we are leaving behind. We are not going to take anything with us to heaven. So there's just one investment, just one investment that you and I can make on this side of life. And be sure that this investment will not only grow, will not only prosper, but this investment will meet us in heaven one day. And they are called souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the souls that you and I are reaching. First of all, by going out ourselves. When we decide to go out and evangelize people, yes, we are not working, we are not making money. Actually, we are losing money. But we are using that time so wisely to make friends for eternity. We also are make friends through the various missionaries that we are helping to support and to take the gospel around the world. Let me put it this way. In 1962, I was not born. My pastor, missionary Jimmy Rose, was sent to the country of Brazil. And after a few years, I was born. I grew up. When I was 12 years of age, through his ministry, I came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I am your friend for eternity. Because it cost money to send the roses to Brazil. Churches had to get together and give and make it possible for them to go and give the gospel. But now they have a friend for eternity. But here's the beauty of this investment. It's a ministry of multiplication. Tonight I'm only one Brazilian. Thank you for missions. But one day in heaven, millions of other Brazilians will thank you as well. I think they'll come by us and they will call us friend. Amen? We will have a new name in heaven. I don't know my new name yet, but people will call me friend because I am their friend since I helped to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the beauty of missions. You and I can make investments that will last for the whole eternity. For the whole eternity. But are we doing that? What have we been doing with our money, time, and especially talents? Are we using them for the glory of God? You have to answer that for yourself. But I know this, it's wonderful to be involved in the most important ministry in the world, the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope you will not only know that, but believe that and become a very wise Christian, a very wise child of God, child of the light. And make sure that you are using whatever you are and whatever you have for the glory of God. Let's pray, Dr. Weaver.